Thank you for listening, downloading, sharing, subscribing, commenting, donating, and praying for us. And for going to brotherlance.com to get the free PDF of this teaching.
I mean, guys, how precious is your salvation? People treat their walk with God and God's grace and mercy as if it's some cheap thing. It's not. And it's not given to everyone. It's not like a convenience store where you can walk up and open up the cooler and get your bottle of salvation. No, it's Jesus choosing you, given to him by God, the Holy Spirit being sent out and saying, hey, you come here now. And then your response means everything. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, even as he's chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Chosen from the very foundation, before the earth ever was, you guys were picked. Okay? That's amazing. Many are called, but fewer will be chosen. Those called have been picked out since the foundation of the universe. They have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life since then. Those not picked have never been written in the Lamb's Book of Life and have no hope of ever being written in. The chosen ones have the opportunity to respond in a positive manner and receive salvation by fearing God and loving the truth, which will in turn manifest their obedience to him. If they fail in this, they'll be blotted out of the Book of Life and be thrown into hell. It'll be worse for those offered salvation if they reject it than for those who never had a chance.
BrotherLance.com.
Dear Heavenly Father, please give us the Holy Spirit as we do our Bible study today. Guide us in all your truth, and we love you very much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So let's read at the top of the page one. It says, chosen, elected, called, predetermination. Okay, so here's just a thought experiment to start off with. It is often called predestination, the belief that certain people have been marked or set aside by God to receive salvation. Let's look at it from this perspective. First off, God is sovereign, Genesis 1:1, meaning he has complete authority. Second, God is omnipresent, Psalms 139, 1 through 12, meaning he can be everywhere at once, though he does have his Shekinah glory in heaven, which is his being. Thirdly, he is omnipotent, Revelation 19:6, meaning he is all powerful and has the ability without end. Lastly, he is omniscient, Job 37:16, meaning that he has all knowledge and without him no knowledge exists. Okay. So in all these all the grand power of our God, it is of little wonder that he already knew from the beginning of time the individuals who would choose him and those he would choose. God would not be surprised about who is going to heaven. He knows that some people, no matter how long suffering he was with them, they would never choose him. To this point, I refer to it as predetermination, because it was determined that these individuals would choose their own way no matter what. Therefore, he has predestined and equipped the elect the opportunity to receive salvation, eternal life, in the coming regeneration. So let's look what the Bible has to say about this. In our first Bible verse, we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Whom he predestined, those he also called. Whom he called, those he also justified. Whom he justified, those he also glorified. Romans 8:28-30. So that's basically the whole Bible study right there, but we're going to go deeper, right? That you have been, God knew you. When he created your spirit within himself to create April, right? He goes, okay, April, this one is one of mine. Right. And then he held that spirit until you were brought into this world. Right. And then once you were brought into this world, God was like, come with me now. Right. And that's what the whole point of this is. OK, so the called ones, the idea that you can come to the Lord anytime you want is the lie of the devil. You must respond when called or you're in danger of hellfire. OK, let's read. Jesus says a few examples out of the gospel. No man can come to me except the Father who sent me draws him. And I'll raise him up at the last day, John 6:44. So can you come to Jesus anytime you like? No, you can't. What does it say? You have to be drawn by God. God has to say, you come now, right? The Bible says today is the day of salvation, right? Next one. No man can come to me except it was given to him by the Father. John 6:65, at the bottom of page one. No man can come to me except it were given to him by the Father. John 6:65. Okay, so what do we have here? Again, same thing. You don't get to choose. God chooses you. You choose how you respond, right? That's the whole point of this study, okay? Next verse, top of page 2. All the Father gives to me will come to me, and him that comes I will not cast out. And this is the Father's will that he has sent me, that all that he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. John 6, 37 and 39, right? So those called to Christ were given to Christ by the Father, right? And so you have been given. God was like, hey, I'm going to give Jesus Christ Daniel. Daniel, you now belong to Jesus. You are his, right? And that's the point of this, okay? Let's go. It says, you have not chosen me. Where are we at? You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. But I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. John 15, 16 through 19, right? And so this particularly is speaking of the disciples, but it reflects because we're all disciples of Christ, right? We're all chosen by the Lord. All right, next one. Unless the Lord has shortened the days, no flesh would have been saved, but for the sake of the chosen ones, whom he picked out, he shortened those days. Mark 13:20. Right? So we have called, chosen, picked, selected, right? That like God has set out from the beginning of time, you, and you, right? And then you are mine, right? So how much should that bear on our hearts and minds and what we do with our salvation? How precious that salvation is. How awesome that gift and opportunity from God to be with him, okay? So, let's next part. Called, predestined, and foreknowledge. So, this is that was Jesus talking about it. Now, we're going to go into the outside of the Gospels. Called, predestined, foreknowledge. For this reason, he is the mediator of a new covenant, since a death has occurred for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first covenant, that those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Hebrews 9:15. Next one. As you know, we exhorted, comforted, and implored every one of you as fathers does his own children to the end that you should walk worthily of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. 1 Thessalonians 2:11 through 12, right? Next one. In whom also we have been chosen to an inheritance, predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his own will. Ephesians 1:11. So you got called, predestined, chosen, right? This is not an accident. An omniscient, all-knowing, all-powerful God is not confused about what's going on in the body of Christ. Like, oh, Bob made it. I didn't see Bob coming. Well, Bob, what happened to Sarah? Oh, they're gone? Well, who didn't see that? No, he already knows all these things, right? It's not like God's like watching a football game, seeing who crossed the finish line, right? Obviously. Like, come on, punt the ball, but put Jerry in. No, it's not happening that way. God understands. He already knows. None of this is a surprise. I believe this is a personal conviction. I believe that this is why you see God bear very long with long suffering and great mercy and kindness to those that who have been called. Because he knows, I picked this one. This one is mine. And if I bear with them, they will respond to me. Right? But that mercy and grace isn't extended to everyone, guys. I promise you that. It is a very precious, precious gift. Something to be honored and esteemed. Grace and mercy is not something to be abused. It's such a rare thing. Like if I have I have a one of a kind mouse, right? And I only have 3 of these and there's 20 people in a room and I decide to give 3 select people this mouse. Mm-hmm. How important is that? That is beyond important, mm-hmm. Right? This is precious. It's special, right? And it should be treated as such. Okay, from the foundation of time. Okay, so this is the part that's probably going to make people butt hurt, okay? If they're going to watch it on YouTube or they're going to go ahead and download the podcast, this is the part that's going to mess with their heads, right? And this is, now one thing that God told me when I started this ministry is he doesn't need a PR man. I don't have to put God in a positive spin. I don't have to make him in a glowing light. I don't have to do anything other than tell you what the Bible says. Because it is what it is. I didn't write it, okay? I'm just pointing stuff out. And so when we look at this, we have to understand, guys, this is what the Bible says. Might mess with your head a little. Might mess with your heart a little. You might go, I never heard of that before, right? But it is what it is, guys, okay? So, question, are the people of God chosen from the very beginning of time? Yes, the Bible clearly says this. He will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left, and the king will tell those on the right hand, come, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Matthew 25:33-34, right? From the very foundation, it was prepared for those select people. Next one. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Chosen from the very foundation. Before the earth ever was, you guys were picked. Okay? That's amazing. That we would be holy without defect before him in love, having predestined us for adoption as children through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his desire. To the praise and the glory of his grace, by which we freely gave us favor in the beloved. Ephesians 1:3-6. So you were picked, chosen, given grace and mercy and favor because God, out of his own desires, it says it right there, his own pleasure, his own desire. He goes, I want this one. Right?
Should be enough inspiration right there to push past anything worldly to take over your
life. It swells in my heart just to think of it. That, like, God, like, Lance's life, as rough as it's been as a child, was not a mistake. It had purpose. It had meaning.
That's right.
And despite all the junk I've gone through, and I know all of you've gone through some stuff, you know, that God was like, no, you're mine. We're going to make it right. I will correct things one day. I will give you more than you could ever imagine, and it'll be worth it. So what's a little suffering, a little sacrifice, a little pain, a little hurt to be chosen by God? To inherit everything and to be with him. Mm-hmm. And here in a minute, we're going to lay down some smackdown on the rest of the world that people aren't going to like. But it's not my, I didn't come up with a plan, guys. God did, okay? So that we'd be holy, right? Okay, next one. Bottom of page 2. But we are bound to always give thanks to God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord, because God chose you from the beginning for salvation. Through the sanctification, I'll let you flip if you've got pages, spirit and belief and truth to which he called you through good news for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 2:13-14 at the top of page 3, right? So God chose you from the very beginning for salvation. Right, you guys aren't a mistake. I'm not a mistake. What's going on in your heart, your mind, and your life is a plan. God, that's why I love the verse. God is Jesus is the author of of salvation. I don't take it as like a metaphor. I believe Jesus wrote it out. I believe my life has been written out by God, by Jesus. I believe what's happening in my life right now is not a mistake. It's not a chance happening. Right? Because if you align yourself in his will, you get that. Yeah. Now, we will show you here at the end of things, you can jump out of his will and you will not get his best. That's clear in scripture. But if you're being obedient and abiding and obeying and following his will, what's going on has a beginning, a middle, an end. It has a grand finale, right? And you have to stay the course. Okay? So let's read. Jesus prayer before his arrest and crucifixion. I pray for them. I didn't say it. Here we go. Jesus said it. I don't pray for the world. Mm-hmm. Let that sink in. Mm-hmm. But for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. John 17:9. Now, before we go forward, because this is the butt-kicking part, guys. This is the part that, you know, if I was going to get hate mail, I'd be over this. Right? That, like, there's this idea that, like, God is just a cosmic candy man with a bleeding heart and his heart on his sleeve, and he has no control of what's going on, and he's just sitting around, you know, weeping and crying and it's not true. God is all-power, all-knowing, omniscient. There's nothing out of his reach. There's nothing going on that he doesn't know about, right, that he doesn't work out his perfect will in, okay? And so, brace yourselves, okay? So I've said, before we start this next section, I pray that we consider how precious it is to have been called by God and chosen to be heirs of salvation. Let us tremble before a holy God and remain thankful to receive such a precious gift. Consider now the fate of the lost. Okay, there we go. The vessels of wrath blocked from salvation. Question, do you mean to say that some people can never be saved? Answer, yes, this is exactly what the Bible says. It's 100% true, okay? Here we go. So we're going to go through and show you how God makes sure, I didn't write it, God did, okay? God hardens hearts to prevent salvation. What then, that we which Israel seek for, that he didn't obtain, but the chosen ones obtained it, and the rest were hardened? According as it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes that should not see and ears that should not hear. To this very day, David says, let their table be made a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a retribution to them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and always keep their backs bent. Romans 11, 7 through 10. So what's it saying? God was like, no, no, you're not happening, guys. It's not you. You're done. Now, this is referring to Israel at the time. That's why in Scripture, there's always a remnant. There's a people of God called out by God from amongst the people. Okay? And so what we have here is we have God going, no, sorry, not you. Not happening. Right? But here's the kicker. Here's what happens. Everybody will save their own flesh. It's easy to prove. If someone walks up to you and like there's 10 people in the line, and I put a gun to 10 people's heads and be like, I'm going to kill you if you don't count to 30 and say you believe I'm God. 9 out of 10 are going to do it just because they want to save their flesh. Same thing with God. God can show his mighty powers. God can work his miracles. God can do these things. And they'll believe. That's what Israel did in the Exodus. But as soon as the miracle stopped, what did it say? A strange and horrible thing happened. The generation after forgot what God did. Right? Because the knowledge of it wasn't enough. They needed the dog and pony show. They did the same thing to Jesus. Show us a miracle. And Jesus got the point, no more miracle, guys, I'm done. Right? The last half of his ministry, he's like, no miracles. You guys don't deserve them anymore. That's all you want, bread and circuses. Right? And so God knows this. So here we have a reference of God hardening Pharaoh's heart. There's actually ones in Kings, there's actually in Chronicles, where God purposely goes out and hardens people's hearts. There's one in Exodus, I find hilarious. I almost put it here, but this is an 8-page study, so I didn't. God hardens Pharaoh's heart, and like in the next verse, he goes to the Moses, and he goes, hey, Moses, Pharaoh's being stubborn, so it's not going to work. I'm like, wait, you just hardened his heart. Of course he's being stubborn.
I never understood that part. I was like, how do you unsoften his heart when you deliberately made his heart so hard, and he falls for nothing that God is threatening him with?
Right, because anybody will try to save their own bacon. Mm-hmm. Pharaoh, anybody. It doesn't matter who they are.
Put a little bit more pressure on
them. Yeah, and yeah, then they'll capitulate. We're humans, you know, we're horrible. And that's why God was like, no, you know, not happening. Yeah, that's the truth. Okay, all right, next one. God sends a lying spirit to deceive the wicked. Yahweh said, who will entice Ahab, king of Israel, that he may go up and fall to Ramoth-Gilead? One spoke saying in this way, and another saying in that way. A spirit came out and stood before Yahweh and said, I will entice him. Yahweh said to him, how? He said, I will go and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all of his prophets. He said, you will entice him and will prevail also. Go and do so. Now therefore, behold, Yahweh has put a lying spirit in the mouth of these your prophets, and Yahweh has spoken evil concerning you. 2 Chronicles 18, 19-22. Now that's going to totally mess up people's theology. Like, in a horrible way. Like, their broken idea of who they think God really is just got jacked up, seriously, I'm sure. And some of you might be going, what's going on here? But again, God has a purpose. He has a plan, right? He has a plan of salvation that he's working out. Certain things have to happen, right? If you read the Gospels enough, one thing you'll notice, Jesus constantly did stuff. And it says, so the prophecy could be fulfilled, or scripture could be fulfilled. Jesus purposely went out of his way to ensure all the prophecies were fulfilled.
Yeah, it's not like it was just going to walk up to him and he's like, okay, I'll fulfill this. He had to go out and work.
Yeah, he did what he was supposed to do, okay? Next one, top of page 4. God hides the truth to prevent salvation. All right, here Jesus said this. He said to them, to you is given the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest perhaps they should turn again and their sins should be forgiven them. Mark 4, 11, 12. Drop a nuke, because that messes with people's heads. Jesus is like, no, they're not supposed to be forgiven. They have rebelled hard and long, and it's done. Their opportunity has passed. We're done with that. He's like, I will speak to them in parables, and that's all they're getting. They will not be saved. Now, you know, because you're taught that, oh, God wants everyone saved. No, he wants the elect saved. Oh, God wants everyone. We're going to talk about Peter. We'll talk about that verse in a minute. I won't get ahead of myself. But listen, guys. there are the called, and then there are the elect, mm-hmm. and those that Jesus called on the outside. You know, they're anathema. They're beyond gone. They'll never get it, ever. Okay? You're right. And so, next one. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not in the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. 2 Thessalonians 2:11 through 12. So who sent the spirit of delusion? It was God. So they would believe a lie. Why? So they would not receive salvation. I mean, guys, how precious is your salvation? People treat their walk with God and God's grace and mercy as if it's some cheap thing. It's not. And it's not given to everyone. It's not like a convenience store where you can walk up and open up the cooler and get your bottle of salvation. No, it's Jesus choosing you, given to him by God, the Holy Spirit being sent out and saying, hey, you, come here now. And then your response means everything. That's right. Oh, you don't want to come? Goodbye. We're going to prove that here in a minute. You're done. That was your opportunity. Don't play fast and loose with God as if he is so hung up and hung and strung up from the rafters by his own love that he has to sit there and wait for you to get your act together. He doesn't. You have to get your act together and get on board while you have the opportunity. And that's the truth. If you want to play games with God, you will lose. And that's the facts. Don't do it. Okay? Next one. God blinds their eyes to prevent salvation. But though I had done so many signs before them, yet they did not believe in him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this cause they couldn't believe, for Isaiah said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes and perceive with their hearts and would turn, and I would heal them. I said these things when he saw his glory and spoke of him. John 12:37-41. So that's Jesus, right? He's like, yeah, blinded, gone, goodbye. So here's the actual verse. I heard the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. He said, go and tell this people, you hear indeed, but do not understand, and you see, but do not perceive. Make the heart of the people fat, make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn again and be healed. Isaiah 6:8-10. This is also referenced in Acts 28:25-28, if you want to look it up, right? Mm-hmm. So what do we have here, guys? It's obvious. It's God's going, no, shame on you guys. You have squandered the blessing. I have called you. You were my own. I have blessed you. I have saved you, and you failed. And now I'm done with you. Come on. If this doesn't rock your core a little, then you're not listening, because here's the deal, guys. Your walk with God has to be the utmost, the most important thing. It is your very own existence at stake.
It's where that scripture comes in, guard your heart.
Right.
Guard your eyes, guard your ears, because all the information comes in and attacks here, and what attacks here comes out here.
Right.
And that's how your life goes.
Right. No, it's good stuff. Okay, next verse. I will choose their delusions and bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spoke, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes and chose that in which I delighted not. Isaiah 66:4. Right? That's the culmination of it, right? I called, they did not answer. I spoke, they did not hear me. Are we hearing God? Are we rejecting him anywhere in our lives today? Are we pushing him out in certain areas and only letting him have certain real estate in our minds and our souls and our hearts? We can't do that. You're playing with fire if you're doing that. If you're resisting God, you are resisting to your own peril. Okay? So we have to be open to God. Like, I fail, I struggle, I have my problems, but I am open with God. I don't hide any of it from him. I talk about it. I pray for myself. I pray for my own walk with him and how to do things better constantly. It's ever on my mind. But like Saul, he didn't repent well. But David did. David did more worse things than Saul did if you look him up. But David repented well. He did not hide from God. He tried with the death of Uriah's wife or whatever, Bathsheba, but he got caught on that. Then he repented well after losing his son. But the point is this, guys. We have to be open books. Mm-hmm. We don't hide from God. We just like, these are my faults. These are my failures. You know my warts. You can't hide it from him anyways. Mm-hmm. But it's when we try to shut our own mind off to it and just be like, you know.
It numbs us. Right. We don't hear the Holy Spirit anymore.
Right. Okay. So the bottom of page 4, conclusion to God hardening hearts. All right. So this is a lot of verbiage, but it's worth it because Paul encapsulates this beautifully for us. Okay. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? May it never be. For he said to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but God who has mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I caused you to be raised up, that I might show you in my power, that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. So then, he has mercy on whom he desires, and he hardens whom he desires. You will say to them, then to me, why does he still find fault? For who withstands his will? But indeed, O man, who are you to reply to God? Will the thing formed ask him who formed it? Why did you make me like this? Or hasn't the potter right over the clay? For the same lump to make one part a vessel of honor and to another for dishonor. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much patience vessels, people of wrath prepared for destruction? They'll never receive salvation. That he might make known the riches of his glory on vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for his glory. Us, whom he has also called, not for the Jews only, but also for the Gentiles. Romans 9:14-24. So what it's saying, God is like, I will harden who I will harden. I will have mercy and soften the hearts of those who I wish. It is my choice. It is for my glory. It is my decision. And this is how it's going to be. Right? And so if you have been fortunate, blessed enough, chosen by God to receive and understand the gospel of Jesus Christ, please don't treat it as if it's cheap, as if it'll always be there, if you can come to God whenever you want, because it's not true. Today is the day of salvation. Repent today. Give up the junk today. Let it all down. Let go. Right? Don't play games with God. All right. So here's another kicker. God never wrote their names in the book of life. Okay? The following verse tells us that the wicked were never placed in the book of life. It was given to him, the devil, to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation was given to him. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. Everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been killed. Revelation 13:7-8. So all those not written in the book of life are going to follow after the beast. It says it right there. Right. They were never written. Period. That God never took a pen. Jesus never took a pen and wrote such and such and so and so. Okay? Never happened. Never. Okay? They're toast. The Bible calls them vessels of wrath, and they're out there. Right? So what's the next part? The beast that you saw was and is not and is about to come up out of the abyss to go into destruction. Those who dwell on the earth and whose names have not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world will marvel when they see that the beast was and is not and shall be present. Revelation 17:8. Again, not written, right? So these people were never entered into the Lamb's book of life. Therefore, they will be thrown into the lake of fire and burned up. It says, and if anyone was not found written in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20:15. Mm-hmm. So if these people were never written, and only those written in the book get to go to heaven, they had no hope from the very beginning. Now people are like, that's kind of mean. Isn't that mean of God? I was like, no. God still gave them life. They still got to live. Mm-hmm. They would have never existed if God didn't create them.
That's right.
Right? They still have given, were given 75, 80 years of existence, which they would have never had on their own. You have something to say?
It just came to my mind that even Pharaoh, as wicked as he was and hardened his heart, he didn't make it. His name wasn't in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Right.
God still used his creation to glorify himself.
Amen. And that's what it's all about. And so we can look at it two different ways. Well, that's unfair. Well, no, they didn't deserve to be alive in the first place. God gave them life. They still lived. They had an opportunity to do stuff. Mm-hmm. There you go. You know, but what about us who have been chosen?
That's right.
What should that do to our minds? What should it do to our hearts and our conviction before God?
Exactly. He's a merciful God. He's given chance after chance after chance.
They are vessels of wrath fit for destruction. We just read that a second ago, but we'll see. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on vessels of mercy, which he prepared beforehand for glory? Romans 9:22-23. Okay. So now we're going to get into the tougher question. What about free will? How does that? So Calvinism means you have no free will. You're either in, you're out. I don't believe that, not at all. And so I believe that either you're in or you're out, but then those who are in have a choice. Okay? And that's what we're going to prove right here. Free will still exists for those who are called. Okay? So here, let's read this. It says, basically, bottom of page 5, what about free will? Basically, people called by God are the ones with the choice. If you're not called, you have no choice. Those called by God are given the opportunity to make the election sure. So let's see what it says here. So the last will be first and the first for last. For many are called, but few are chosen. Matthew 20:16, right? So please note that not all are called. And even if you are called, you are not chosen. Not always, right? So you have not called, then you have called, and then you have chosen. You want to be in the chosen pile, okay? The ones that have been called and he moved on to being like, you know, you're good to go. We're rocking that party. It says, wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fail. 2 Peter 1:10, right? So it says, make your election sure. Now that you have been called, stamp that book, you know, get that visa, you know, stamp by customs of God's heaven, you know, and be like, oh, yeah, he's in. Bring him on, you know? Top of page 6. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians 2:12, right? So, we're supposed to sit there and wrestle with God. Examine our hearts. We talked about this before. Being willing to correct our own actions. The Bible says, judge yourself and so you won't be judged. If we will judge ourselves, God won't have to. Because the power of the Holy Spirit goes, this. We need to work on this, guys. Let's get it right. Because God is returning for a holy and a righteous people. Yes, through faith, righteousness through faith, but faith without works is dead. So you can't say you have faith unless it's producing an action. Mm-hmm. Right? Okay, so we need those actions. Okay? Next part. Those who are called have the option to refuse or reject the salvation offered to them. Therefore, as for you, let there remain in you which you've heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning remains in you, you will also remain in the Son and the Father. 1 John 2:24, right? So what's it saying? You can hear the words of truth. You can have the gospel. But if you let, like the parable says, the demonic and the devil to come and steal those words out of your heart, mm-hmm. never take root, never produce fruit, you're toast. I believe the parable of the sower is a literal thing. Mm-hmm. I believe 100%, like there's four throwings, mm-hmm. only one, 25% of the ones called or the seed sown are the ones that are chosen. If you watch my video on YouTube, Is Christianity Dying? I prove that. Most people don't even have sound biblical theology. A lot of Christians now don't believe that Jesus was sinless. They don't believe that the Holy Spirit's a real thing. They don't believe in hell. They believe in heaven, of course. You're right. So their belief systems are all jack, right? They believe in a God of their own making. Okay, next part. The elect are in the book of life, but can be blotted out. Here we go. It says, the righteous by faith are written in the book of life. Charge them with a crime upon crime. Don't let them come into your righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of life and not be written with the righteous. Psalm 69:27-28. So this idea of book of life is in the Old Testament. Let's look at what Jesus has to say about it. Many people believe once saved, always saved, but this is just incorrect. Jesus tells us that people can be blotted out of the book of life. Here's what he says. He who overcomes will be arrayed in white garments, and I will in no way blot his name out of the book of life. And I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Revelation 3:5. Right? So, you can be blotted. You know, that, you know, take old school ink pastel, go, where they put a big black smear over your name where they'll never know that it was written. Right? And so not everybody's in that book, but those who are in the book, God can go, no, they didn't want me. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's it. Right. So clearly we see that those who are called can be blotted out of the book in life and not enter into heaven. So let's see what it says. So to be blotted out means you're going to hell. If anyone was not found written in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire, Revelation 20:15. Okay? And that last verse was Revelation 3:5. I guess I didn't say it. All right. To be written in the book of life means you will go to heaven. Let's see. He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. They will in no way enter into anything that profanes or anyone who causes an abomination or lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life, Revelation 21, 10 plus 27. So, what do you have? You want to go to heaven? You have to be in the book of life, right? Not everybody's written. Okay? So don't be blotted out. We all have free will to decide this. So, as we're coming to a close here, top of page 7, some questions and answers. Okay. What does it say? Isn't God patient? Top of page 7. Not wanting anyone to perish. Right? Because a lot of people bring up this verse. Okay? And so let's understand it in context. People don't get context. Let's take a look at this often misapplied verse. The Lord is not slow concerning his promises, some count slowness, but is patient with us, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. Now, people say that all means everyone in the entire universe, all the people of the planet. No, it doesn't mean that, obviously.
Because the Bible wasn't written for everybody.
Right. You got to have ears. If we look, Peter's referring to the called or elect of the household of faith, not the entirety of humanity. As we see that in chapter 2, remember that this was one letter with no chapters, as they were added later, talking about falling away from the faith and returning back to sin. Also, at the start of chapter 3, we read the following, right? It says, "This is now, beloved, the second letter which I have written to you, and in both of them I stir you up in sincere mind by reminding you that you should remember the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ," right?
2 Peter 3:1-2.
And so what is he doing? He is talking to believers. So the all is to all believers, all called. God is not willing that any should perish. Those who have been called, he wants them all. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. Obviously, it's not. Right, but that's what he's saying here, okay? So, in context, this statement is a call to refrain from falling away and to come back if you have, and maintain that which remains, that God is mindful of his lost sheep and is finding opportunity for them to come home, not wanting any of them to perish. Because in 2 Peter there, talking about people falling away from the faith, scoffers and mockers coming in, making fun of the beliefs, and people falling away from it, right? And so he said, this is why God and Jesus are lingering in Jesus' second coming to earth, mm-hmm. is because he's trying to fill up all those who are called on the bus on back to heaven, right? And if people aren't in their seat, he gives them time to get in their seat. Mm-hmm. And so God is very long-suffering and kind to those who have been called, but who among us want to take the risk of playing a game with God to see how much we can get away with and see if we can just barely squirt in there before they shut the door? Not me, you know. So let's read a portion of chapter 2 to hammer this home. I believe, says, it would have been better than you have not known than to turn back the truth. After they have escaped the defilement of this world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in it and overcome. The last day has become worse for them than the first. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back again from the holy commandment delivered unto them. 2 Peter 2:20-21. So obviously, back up verse, they're talking about believers here. He's not wanting any to perish. He wants all to become back, right? But this is talking to believers, those who have had the truth and have turned back to the world, right? So what we find in Scripture is that there are some vessels of wrath that are never called, and they will die in their sins. They have no choice, no free will, as people like to say, and they are stuck in their lot. Then you have those called, chosen to come to God. And of these, they have free will, in the matter. How they respond matters, and what they do matters. Okay, so here we are at the end of this page 8. How did God decide who would be saved? That's a great question, right? In this we cannot definitively say, but I do believe God provided us a clue in the following verses. Okay, it says, "Brothers and children of the stock of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, the word of this salvation is sent unto you." Acts 13:26. So those who fear or are willing to fear God, salvation has been offered to them. I think that's a clue, right? And so I can't definitively say this is the meter, but this is what it says. You who fear God, the word of salvation was sent to you. Because you feared or would fear or would respond, it has been given to you, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's check one last one. Mm-hmm. Even he who has coming is according to the work of Satan will empower with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deception of wickedness for those who are being lost, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. But because of this, God sends them a working error, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be judged who didn't believe in the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound always giving thanks to God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord, because God chose you from the beginning for salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and the belief in the truth. In which he called you through our good news from the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 2:9-14. Here we see is the love of truth, the willingness to be wrong and corrected in the ways of God, and that brings salvation. Those who fear him, believe what he has says and as correct and absolute truth, and offer salvation. Those who will not fear him and do not love the truth are damned to hell, destined to burn for their rebellion. Okay? I think this is a pretty definitive study on the topic. But let's give a recap. Okay. Many are called, but fewer will be chosen. Those called have been picked out since the foundation of the universe. They have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life since then. Those not picked have never been written in the Lamb's Book of Life and have no hope of ever being written in. The chosen ones have the opportunity to respond in a positive manner and receive salvation by fearing God and loving the truth, which will in turn manifest their obedience to him. If they fail in this, they'll be blotted out of the book of life and be thrown into hell. It'll be worse for those offered salvation if they reject it than for those who never had a chance. Right? The believer who rejects God will receive a stiffer punishment than those who have never been called. Because you are rejecting not only salvation, you're rejecting the love of your creator, the one who made you, okay? So here at the bottom of C, it says, woe unto the called. The dreaded weight of the offer of salvation must be respected. God must be feared with a trembling spirit before his might and his power. Right? So every single one of you have been called by God. You have been offered a most precious gift, right? By God. Thank you for the thumbs up. And what we do with this, how we respond, right? Now, we don't get to judge who's been called. We don't know who around us in this world has been chosen by God. Only God knows that. That's why we still do ministry, right? We still go out and preach, and we call children home, right? A good portion of them will never make it. That's okay. We still present the truth. Some will. But here's the thing, guys. What are we doing with our own salvation? How are we handling our own walk with God? What are we prioritizing over him and his will for us and what he would have us to do with our lives and time, right? We have to align ourselves with him. And here's the thing. If we do this, guys, God will bless us beyond measure. And not just in the ways of the world, in this life, in the next, and things we don't understand. You know, I didn't tell anybody this. My Javen almost died 2 weeks ago at my house. Melissa came back to the room and was praising God about something else that was a blessing. And she walked back into the living room, not knowing that Javen, somehow, a handful, strips of bread stuck in his throat, gagging. And she didn't know. She's back there, you know, and she doesn't stay away from the kids too long. But, like, she was back there to praise God. Like, praise God, this happened. So she walks out there, and she hears a weird noise, and she runs and, like, look of terror on Javen's face. Well, she immediately says she said something took over her. She doesn't even know. It was God, obviously. Got him. She reached down, like this style, into his mouth, and she could feel stuff. She pulled one out. And then she pulled another out, and another one was down there, like probably down in this area, and she couldn't get it. And so she was praying. She threw him up over her leg, was pounding his back, and then she reached up under up there one more time with her fingers and was able to grab something. Right. If you come to my house, I have major moments written on my wall, so we'll never forget the time God blesses us, right? We wrote that one down. But far be it from us, if we were not in God's will, if we were not in line with his protection and blessing, if we were in a spirit of temptation and tempting the Lord, what would have happened? Right? People are like, Lawrence, oh, that's... No! Listen, you want God's blessing, be where God is at. You cannot blame God for not coming through for you if you are not doing the things God is telling you to do. Like, like this one lady, I don't know if I'll get the story right, but basically she got in a car wreck or something and she confessed, God told me not to go. Right? Well, it's not his fault you got in the car wreck. He warned you. Right. Right? And so we can't blame God. So what does this mean? Why do I say this? Listen, guys, I 100% believe he would have died if my house was in rebellion against God. Because there would have been no hope for his help in my rebellion. But because we align ourselves with the Lord, we pray over our children. Every night, I rebuke the spirit of death away from my children. Right. Every single night, I release the spirit of life upon them. Speak it. Right. Yeah, and so, all during Javen's birth, or the pregnancy, we did it every single night. That's why at the hospital, he didn't die, even though his heart stopped three times. Wow. Because God answers prayer. God is faithful. God will come through. Right? But we have to align ourselves with him. He doesn't align himself to us. That's arrogance. We align ourselves with him. We get in his lane. We align ourselves. Where is God? That's where I want to be. Right? And that's what we have to do. Right? And so now Javen's life's been saved. I don't know how many times. It's kind of ridiculous how often it happens. But praise God. You know, God obviously has a plan for that young man. You know? But at the same thing, guys, this is what I'm telling you. You have been chosen. My son, my children have been, all been dedicated to God. I believe every single one of them is chosen by God. Right? So we have to align ourselves. We have to value the gift of salvation. Like, it's precious. It is so precious. It's so precious that it took the life of his son to give it to us. Right? And for Jesus, who was perfect up to the point, to become sin for us. And to be separated from the Father through death and hell. What a magnificent cost. Right? And so I encourage every single one of you, value your walk with God. Put it first. Don't wait. Don't delay. Get rid of whatever you have to get rid of. Do the things God is telling you to do. Don't be selfish. Don't be full of rebellion. Don't tempt God. Right? Put him first. He has put you first. Hasn't he? Yes. Let's do the same. Let's put God first and see what happens, right? That's been the call of this ministry since it started. It's like, let's just see what happens. Let's put him to the test.
Always. That's right.
Right. You know, God says do it. Let's do it. Let's find out, you know? And so I'm of the mind, if God didn't exist, I don't want to be here. So there you go, you know? But he does exist, okay? Does anybody have any questions or thoughts that before we pray? Pretty good stuff. Okay. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the awesome, amazing power of salvation in our lives. That none of us were ever thought of as an afterthought. That you picked us, chose us, created us for your glory. To be with you, to be like you, to inherit salvation, the kingdom of heaven, and everything. That we have a hope and a future, and that we don't need to squander it or let go of it too quickly for our own selfish desires, but that we can exalt you and obey you and listen to you and do those things that are pleasing and help those you have called into your kingdom and show them the path and how to be with you. And so we praise you, we thank you, we glorify you, we glorify you, Father, we glorify you, Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you and we love you. Help us to handle our salvation with care and walk forward in hope of the great days ahead of us, and we love you very much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 If you feel so led of the Lord and want to know how to donate to this ministry outreach, please visit brotherlance.com and scroll down to the bottom of the main page for the PayPal link. Thank you, and may God's blessing rest upon you.
brotherlance.com